This story has three distinct parts, and each of them has its own tone, its own dynamic. So to make a specific contrast between the three parts is really important. The first part is the baptism. The background of that is that there were a lot of ritual cleansings as a part of the traditions of Israel. So in order to be pure, to be clean, one had to have a ritual cleansing that involved baths and sometimes isolation every time you had a period, every time you had a nocturnal emission, any time you touched something that was dead, any time that you touched things that were unclean, which were a whole range of things. So there was a long tradition of ritual baths in order to be clean in the traditions of Israel. And some of those were what we would now call health-related items and issues. The baptism of John was a once-and-for-all baptism. It was a baptism to cleanse the connections, the pollution, the uncleanness that was associated with being human, and with all of the uncleanness that one had contracted, all the sins that one had committed in the past. And so it was a once-and-for-all cleansing. And it was a preparation for the coming of the kingdom of God, so that just as going into the temple, you got yourself clean in order to enter into the space of God. For the coming of the kingdom of God, you cleansed everything from your past in order to be ready then to enter the kingdom of God. The experience of Jesus is the primary focus of the baptism. And so it is his baptism into the kingdom of God, but it is also his direct experience of God. And what the story does is to enable us to identify with Jesus right at the beginning of the gospel. So it is an inside view. As he was coming up out of the water, he saw, and there are three things that he saw. He saw the heavens, the Spirit descending like a dove, and a voice. So those three things are the core of his experience. So it is as if we are given an insight and a participation in Jesus' experience here. That's the way to tell it, is to maximize that sense of identification and presence with Jesus in his baptism. The voice from heaven is not, I think, a divine power voice. It's a father voice. It's the voice of a father who loves his son. And that's also why the translation of "You are my son, the beloved," really doesn't convey the kind of intimacy that is present in the original Greek, which is "whom I love." And so this is an expression of God's love for Jesus and of his delight in him. Another possible translation would be "with you I'm really pleased." And that would have a more colloquial feel about it, in some ways be more appropriate for the tone of what is being said in conventional English. But "I am well pleased" seems a little more, I don't know, formal, I guess, and somehow a little more appropriate, but either one is possible. So that's the first episode. The second episode is Jesus' experience in the wilderness. The Spirit drives him out into the wilderness. So it's the Spirit of God. And the impact of this is of Jesus' preparation. This is his training. In military terms, this is Jesus' basic training for his mission. So he is in the wilderness for 40 days, nearly 6 weeks. And during that time, the story is that he is tempted by Satan, but it is even another meaning of the Greek word here is tested. So he is confronted by and is tested by the prince of demons, by the prince of the powers of evil. So Jesus' adversary, the one who he prepares to do battle with, is not the enemies of Israel, you know, the Philistines or the Assyrians or whoever it might be in terms of preparation for battle. his adversary is the powers of evil. It is Satan as the symbolic character who embodies the power of evil. Another dimension of this is that he then shares Israel's experience in the wilderness, of being in the wilderness for 40 years. So there is a symbolic connection between Jesus' 40 days and Israel's 40 years. His being with the wild beasts is also related to this experience of testing. The wild beasts were also sources of fear for anybody who lived in the wilderness. Lions, various other wild animals who were present in the wilderness. So Jesus lives with them, confronts his fears in regard to them, and overcomes them. And the final note is that the angels of God, that is, the spiritual powers of good, take care of him. It is reminiscent of Elijah's experience in the wilderness when he's on the way to Sinai after his battle with the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel. And he is fed by God so that he is able then to continue on his journey. Well, here, once as with Elijah, angels wait on Jesus. The last episode is Jesus' proclamation, his preaching in Galilee. It happens after John was arrested. So the baptism by John happens at the beginning of this episode, and the last part is in the context of John having been arrested. It doesn't say why he's been arrested. It doesn't say what the consequences of it are going to be. But the clear implication is that it's not good. So it's a sober, somber note in the story. But Jesus is not fazed by it at all and comes into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The good news is euangelion. It is the same word as is present at the beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So there's the good news of Jesus Christ, and here Jesus proclaims the good news, the euangelion of God. And the good news is that the period of waiting is finally over. Israel had been hoping for the coming of the kingdom of God for hundreds of years. There's a sense in which ever since the end of the kingdom of David, nearly 1,000 years before, Israel was waiting for the restoration of power, authority, independence. So the coming of the kingdom of God and the announcement of that coming is full of hope for people who would have heard this, including those who heard the gospel. The announcement is then of a new government. It is that the kingdom of God, the reign of God, has come near, that it is nearly present, it is at hand, it is about to happen, and therefore that one must repent. Now, the word that is used for repent means to turn your brain around. It literally means to take your head and turn it around so that it's looking the other way. So if you can imagine you're turning your head around 90 degrees so that it's facing the other direction, I guess it'd be 180, wouldn't it? Then that's what this story is about. It's about turning your brain around inside your head so that you're looking in a different direction. You're looking and evaluating everything in terms of your actions by how it looks in relation to the kingdom of God. And believing in this good news is also trusting, having confidence, believing that this is going to radically change things so that you then change your way of life. Overall, this is a story then of Jesus' preparation and then of his inaugurating his mission.